Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. I've got some great news this time. I am happy to report we actually have a couple politicians and maybe some laws that are pushing back against the insanity of the medicine mandates. And the one thing I really want to highlight about this article I'm going to read is this is something that we have been talking about in the rebel capitalist community for months now. The fact that they don't recognize the nuance with the people who have chosen not to receive the medicine, they don't recognize the nuance between those who have had the cerveza sickness and those who have not had the cerveza sickness. And they say that everybody needs to have a medicine, regardless of that nuanced conversation that would wildly skew the risk reward. The simple fact that they omit that from the conversation shows us that their objectives have nothing to do with health whatsoever. None. That is the smoking gun. That's the silver bullet. That in and of, there's many things that go into it, but that in and of itself shows you their true motivations have nothing to do whatsoever with public health and safety. Because if they were truly being honest, intellectually honest about that conversation, well, then they would acknowledge the fact that natural immunity has a very similar benefit, if not a better benefit, than the medicine. And therefore, how can you exclude those people from entering a gym or entering maybe even a grocery store in the future? You see, and you know, I really like Tim Pool, but and Tim says, well, we shouldn't even be talking about this because I'm against all mandates. So am I. So am I. But I think it's important to talk about this because it shows the hypocrisy and it shows you the moral compass of our current administration and the current central planners and politicians we're dealing with. And that is that they have no moral compass. They are morally bankrupt. And what proves that is their lack of willingness to bring up natural immunity in the discussion about the medicine mandates. And therefore, when we're going over a cost-benefit analysis of the medicines themselves, you have to factor that into the equation. When most people do a cost-benefit analysis, if they even do one, which very few people do, but if they do, they really consider the benefit of the medicine, the perceived danger of the cerveza sickness, and that's the extent of the analysis. They never include the probability that the government is trying to issue these mandates as a way to gain power and control, and that you have to look at each government individually. And I'm not saying that this administration is, well, I am saying this administration is a lot worse, but it's not the fact that they're on the left or the right. That really doesn't matter anymore. I think what matters most is a specific administration more authoritarian, or are they standing up for the rights of the individual? That's what we should be most concerned with, regardless of how we see the specific topics that generally would put someone on the left or the right. It's all about authoritarianism versus individualism. So this administration, very, very authoritarian, that's for sure. And so then when you're doing that cost-benefit analysis on the value of a specific mandate, you've got to make sure that you include you're giving power and authority and control to a government who has no ethical North Star whatsoever, that is morally bankrupt and has proven time and time and time that they are willing to lie and do whatever is necessary to gain more power and control, micromanage the economy. And I believe they're most likely just a really a puppet or a group of useful idiots that are implementing the objectives of the global elite. But I'll let you decide on the probabilities of that being accurate. So let's go into this article. Good news, good news. This was on Zero Hedge. This is from a congresswoman in Tennessee, Diana Harshbarger. She is a Republican, and her act that she is trying to, I guess, get passed is called Natural Immunity is Real Act. It's really shocking that we actually have to have an act or a law that would bring this into the forefront of the discussion with the central planners and the people that are in charge of these institutions, such as Walensky and Fauci. But unfortunately, that's the world we live in right now. So there is plenty of evidence. Well, we all know this. There's her exact quote. There's ample scientific evidence that shows natural immunity is absolutely one of the best things you could have. And some studies even show that it's more effective, and pretty much stuff that we all know, we've talked about on this channel many, many times. And again, it's not that I'm anti-medicine at all. I'm just anti-medicine mandate, because it should be left up to the individual to determine what their personal risk reward is. So she goes on to talk about the multiple studies that show that natural immunity offers very similar benefits to the medicines, let's say. She and 10 other members of the House of Representatives late last week introduced the Natural Immunity is Real Act, a companion to a Senate bill from Senator Mike Lee, Tommy Tuberville, Mike Braun, and Dan Sullivan. It would require federal agencies to acknowledge, accept, and agree to truthfully present natural immunity pertaining to the cervasis sickness pursuant to certain regulations. Okay. The Congress members are presenting the bill as Biden administration works to finalize a regulation that would force private companies with over 100 employees to mandate presenting proof of cervasis sickness medicine or have staff members tested weekly. So they're saying that they've got to acknowledge this when coming out with these bills. And I agree with Tim Pool. This is not our main objective. We should hope to get rid of all of these regulations and restrictions coming down from the government. But again, my point is, this just shows, this is the smoking gun, the silver bullet, that in and of itself shows you their intentions have nothing to do with health and safety. And they are not being intellectually honest or curious in the slightest. So they're just saying there would be an opt-out for natural immunity. Okay. And then she just goes on to recite a lot of the studies that we are all familiar with. So at least it's a step in the right direction. You know, I'm not in favor of any mandates. I would not be in favor of a mandate that gave some sort of exclusion to people with natural immunity. But like I said, it's a step in the right direction, and at least it shines a light on the real problem here. And that is the reason, the rationale for these politicians, central planners, ignoring natural immunity in the first place. And that's because I believe their agenda has more to do with big pharma profits, taking control and power, maybe even creating some sort of chaos within our society because of how many police officers, as an example, are just outright quitting in a time that's going to be very detrimental to the stability of a lot of our urban areas. And that creates the chaos that could be part of their objective. But regardless of why you think they're issuing these mandates, what we can all safely conclude is that, again, they have nothing to do with health or safety. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. Okay, guys, let me conclude by going over some of my takeaways from this past week where I was in New Orleans speaking at the New Orleans Investment Conference and in Dallas speaking at the Sovereign Man event with Simon Black, and Kiyosaki was there, and my buddy Kenny McElroy, among others. Actually had a great conversation with Adam Taggart, a really bright guy and someone that I've got a lot of respect for. You know, he and I talked for probably an hour or two, had a very, very good conversation. And then when I was in New Orleans, I had dinner with Danielle DiMartino Booth, Brent Johnson, was able to spend a little time in the green room talking to Jim Grant, did a panel discussion with him, and then spent some time talking with Jim Rickards. Also, I was in the green room often with John Najarian, so I didn't have a direct conversation with him, but I could hear what he was talking about with under other individuals that were backstage. And I can tell you, regardless of what people come out and say when they're on Bloomberg or CNBC, every one of the quote-unquote experts that I spoke with, they're all concerned about the same thing. And sure, they're out there talking about stocks or gold or Bitcoin or what's happening with the Fed, but you get them at dinner or you get them back in the green room and the conversations all revolve around personal liberty and freedom. They're all just as freaked out as we are. Even a lot of those talking heads that you see on CNBC, they're just as freaked out about the direction of the country and how it's leaning more and more and more authoritarian. So I think that is also good news because it really shows us that so many people have the exact same belief system we have. They value freedom more than they value safety, even if they're not able to talk about it because they're afraid of being deplatformed or they're afraid of losing a significant portion of their investors or they're afraid of being kicked off of XYZ TV show or not being invited onto a certain channel to do more interviews in the future, which help them promote their whatever service they provide or whatever hedge fund they're running. At the end of the day, those are, people have to be cognizant of that. I'm in a very unique position where I can come in here and say whatever is on my mind and whatever I feel most passionate about. And, why do I do this YouTube channel? I got better things to do. I retired. I'd like to remind everybody that I retired in 2012. I don't have to make whiteboard videos. I don't have to do interviews. And I definitely don't have to do 6 or 7 of these live streams every single day. But I want to. I want to. Because I'm absolutely passionate about not only macroeconomics, but making sure that we are getting off the road to serfdom. I had the opportunity of meeting Ron Paul this weekend in Dallas. And he was up there on stage, and one of the things he was talking about is why he decided to become a politician in the first place. And he went over this detailed conversation he had with his wife when he was making that decision decades ago. And he said his main motivation was just he had so many things that he wanted to get off his chest. He would read things in the news and he'd just, it'd drive him crazy. And he just wanted to get out there and talk about it. He just wanted to get these things off of his chest. So back then, the best way to do it was to run for office, to become a politician, so you could actually get out there in the media, hopefully move the needle, and stand up for what you believe in and your principles. And when he was saying that, it resonated with me so much, because that's really why I do these YouTube videos at the end of the day. It's just so I can get this stuff off my chest, because if I couldn't get these things off my chest and talk about them, it would absolutely drive me crazy. And the fact that I have the opportunity to get out there and potentially move the needle in this battle for freedom and liberty, I take that very seriously. And, you know, I had a conversation with my mom. I flew her out to Dallas to participate in the event with the Sovereign Man event. And she told me outright, she says, you know, I think everything that you've done in your life has kind of brought you to this place where if you continue to work hard and to talk about what you believe in, that you can actually make a difference. And I'm not saying that I'm in the same category of, you know, Friedman or Hayek back in the 40s, but I think collectively as a group, when you combine, you know, people like myself and Gerald Celente and Lynette Zhang, Mark Moss, you know, Kiyosaki, Kenny McElroy, Jason Hartman, they might not be able to talk about this stuff as much as I do, but we're all kind of in that same group. And I think as a unit, we can move the needle and really have hopefully as much influence as Milton Friedman did in the 70s and Hayek did in the 1940s. I feel a great sense of responsibility, but it's really a blessing that I'm thankful for every single day, that I actually can come here and get these things off my chest and at the same time, hopefully create a better world, not only for ourselves, but for our kids and our grandkids moving forward. We have to have that sense of urgency, like I say on so many videos, because if we don't stand up now, we're going to wake up in 5 years, 10 years, and we're not going to like the world we live in. But the good news is there are more of us than there are of them. So if we do stand up, we can win, and we can make sure that our kids and our grandkids have the same type of liberties and freedom that we have grown to know and love in the United States for as long as we've been alive. So anyway, that's why I do what I'm doing. And I think I can speak for a lot of those people out there, such as Kiyosaki. You know, it's one thing we talked about a lot this weekend, and Kenny, that, you know, we're all thinking about this and we're trying to do the best we can to open people's eyes up to the value of freedom and liberty. And we're all cognizant of it, and we're all planning and trying to figure out how we can come together to have the most impact as possible in the future. And even in the next month, in the next 6 months, in the next year, we've got a lot of things in the works, which I think you guys are going to love. And hopefully it will open up people's eyes, the average CNN viewer, because that's who we really need to reach. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Make sure you stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.